As I said, we're looking tonight at the real Jesus. Who is Jesus really? And once we come to understand who Jesus really is, will we welcome him or will we reject him? Now, there's a fair bit of material in the whole of chapter 11 and then into 12, so I'm going to just focus on particular portions. And essentially, we're looking at the beginning of a week, a vitally important week in the history of the world, the history of the universe, vitally important week in the life of Jesus. So let's look at the first bit that we'll consider tonight. Okay, it's Sunday. It's the first day of the week. And Mark records that they brought a colt, a young animal to ride on, to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany, a town outside Jerusalem, with the 12. That's his 12 disciples. So that's Sunday. Monday comes. And Mark records, so they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares or goods through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of thieves." And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. So that was Monday. And we come to Tuesday. Tuesday was quite a significant day. There was a lot of disputing with the religious leaders, and we see how that started. Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him, and they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority to do these things?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men," they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And he went on, and he began to speak to them in parables. And he told them a parable, which is often described as the parable of the wicked vine dressers, and we'll look a bit more at that later. And as he finished telling this parable, he said to them, "Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they, that is the religious leaders, sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. So Bethany, yeah, we can have the next slide, thanks. Three things that we can know about who Jesus really is that are taught to us in this portion tonight. We learn that he is the one promised by the prophets to be the rescuer sent from God. The second thing we learn is that he is the one who has authority from God to speak the truth about how to be right with God. And the third thing we learn is that although Jesus is rejected by many people, he is the foundation stone for the building that's made out of living stones that God is making. He's a rejected stone by many, but he's God's chosen foundation stone for the building that God is building, made out of living stones, that is the people who put their trust in Jesus. So let's think this through. How can we say that Jesus is the promised one, the one promised by the prophets to be the rescuer sent from God? If we look right back in the history of God's people that's recorded for us in the Bible, if we look at the Old Testament, we see God had an unfolding purpose. Right at the very beginning, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, God promised that there would be one who would come, who would be born of a woman, who would destroy the enemy of God's people, Satan, and be a rescuer. God brought great deliverance for his people at times when they were slaves. There was a time when they were slaves in the land of Egypt, and God brought them out of Egypt. And at that time they sang a song. They said, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." And the prophet Moses, who led the people out, said, "There's going to be one even greater than me who will be the rescuer of God's people." The prophets said there was one who was coming, one who God would appoint, who would be God's rescuer. The way in the Old Testament that kings and prophets were appointed was that oil would be poured upon their head as a sign that they were chosen by God to be a leader or a teacher. And there was a special word that the Jewish people used in their language of Hebrew. It was called Messiah, the anointed one, the one who had oil poured on their head. The Greek version of that word is Christos, or Christ. So the one chosen by God with the special oil of anointing was the Messiah, the Christ. And the Old Testament prophets were speaking about this one. The prophet Isaiah said that God had a special purpose for the temple, the building where God's people gathered to worship him. He said that temple, that place, would be a house of prayer, not just for the Jewish people, but for all nations, people from all over the world. It's great to look around the room tonight and see that there are people from all over the world, people of all nations. And God's purpose is that people of all nations would be gathered into his special building to offer prayer and worship to him. The prophet Jeremiah said that God's people so often turned away from obeying him and turned to disobey him. And things would get so bad that they'd turned what should be a holy, sacred place into a den of thieves. God sent a whole series of prophets to warn God's people against disobedience, to invite them to know his goodness. And then a prophet came called John, who baptized in the Jordan and told that the time had finally come when the Messiah would appear. He was Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, and he was truly a prophet. In Old Testament times, God's people had written a song, one of the Psalms. There are 150 songs, special holy songs in the Bible, written in the book of Psalms. Number 118 was a psalm that was especially sung at the time when God's people remembered when he had rescued them out of Egypt. The time when God's judgment passed over them and was placed upon their enemies instead. A time when they sacrificed a lamb whose blood covered over their sin and made God's anger pass over them. And as Jesus came into Jerusalem, it was nearly time for the Passover. It was the Passover week. It was the beginning of the week when the Passover would happen that year. And the people were singing a verse from Psalm 118. They were saying, "Hosanna," which in Hebrew means, "O God, rescue." Hosanna. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the living God." And they had a sense, I'm sure, that this was a very special Passover. There was a sense, this is the Messiah. This is the one promised by God. They were welcoming him at that time. But soon, Jesus went to the physical temple, the building made out of stones, and he saw what was happening there. He saw that instead of a place where people came to worship God, it was a place where some people came to make a quick buck. There were people there who said, "Oh, people need to buy little pigeons to offer as a sacrifice to God so I can make a good profit by selling these pigeons." Or, "People need special temple money to offer to God so I can make a profit changing their ordinary money into temple money, and I can charge a bit extra." And Jesus said, "Didn't the prophet Isaiah say that God had designed this place to be a house of prayer for people from all over the world? And what have you done? You've turned it into what the prophet Jeremiah said was a den of thieves. It's like a robber's cave. That's all you're interested in." And then what was even worse was that the religious teachers got annoyed at him. And they said, "Who do you think you are? You're coming in here to our temple. You're throwing your weight around. You're telling people what they can't do. Our mates are making lots of good money here, and you're tipping their tables up and you're chasing them away. And who do you think you are? By what authority are you doing these things? Who said that you could teach like this?" Now, Jesus knew that at this stage to meet them head on would bring confrontation sooner than God's plan. So he answered very wisely. He said, "All right, you want to know whose authority I'm using to say this? You answer me a question, and if you can give me an answer, then I'll tell you who my authority is." And he asked them that question. The baptism of John, is it just a human invention, or did God really send John? Now, here's where I really want to ask you to turn your own spiritual eyesight in on your own heart. Don't think about those wicked Pharisees and how terrible they were. Look at your own heart. Jesus asked this question. The Pharisees didn't say, what's really true? Did John the Baptist come just because he thought it was a good idea? Or did God really send him? What we really need to do is work out what's the truth. That's exactly what they didn't do. They weren't interested in the truth. They just wanted to protect their mates who were making profit out of flogging stuff in the temple. They wanted to preserve their own position as the boss cockies around the religious establishment. They weren't interested in the truth. So they thought, what's going to get us out of this pickle? If we say that he really did come from God, well, he's just going to say, why didn't you believe him? Of course, they should have been turning their eyes on their own heart and saying, was he really from God? If he was, we should have believed him. But they're just trying to think of getting out of their human predicament. So eventually they decide, look, we can't answer him one way or the other. So we'll just have to say, look, we don't know. And Jesus said, all right, if you can't answer my question, I'm not going to answer yours. And then he told them a parable. And the parable went along these lines. He said, look, there was a man who had a vineyard and he let some people use the vineyard and grow grapes in it. And then he thought, well, I should go and get my rent from the people who are using my vineyard. And so he sent a messenger. And the people in the vineyard didn't pay the rent to the messenger. They just beat him up. So he said, I'll send another messenger. And they beat him up. And they said, he eventually said, well, they're not listening to my messengers. I'll send my own son along and get him to pay get them to pay the rent to him. But instead, they beat the son up and killed him. Now, it's not hard to work out the meaning of the parable. We've seen that right back in history, from the time of Moses, of the Exodus, the time of Isaiah, the time of Jeremiah, right up till John the Baptist, the prophets had been telling God's people that there was a Messiah coming. But the people wouldn't believe in so many cases. They rejected the message. And Jesus is saying, and here am I, God's own son, and I'm here to tell you what you should do. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to beat me up and kill me, just like the son in the story. And to really drive home the point, Jesus picked up another portion from that psalm, Psalm 118. The psalm that the people had been singing as Jesus came riding into Jerusalem, riding on that colt. They'd pulled their cloaks off and thrown them on the road. They'd pulled branches off the trees and they were waving the branches and they were throwing branches on the ground. There was such a celebration. It was as though they were welcoming Jesus, saying, welcome, welcome, God, save us. God is saving us. Here's the Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But Jesus pointed out to the Pharisees, to the chief priests, the scribes, the elders. There's another verse in that psalm. It says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now, I'd just like you to imagine for a moment that you're an architect and you're designing a very special building. It's going to be the most impressive building in the world, the most impressive building there's ever been. And the most important part of that building is the very most significant stone in the foundation. It's the stone that's going to be placed so that it supports everything else, so that all of the rest of the foundation lined up with that stone. And you're the architect, you've designed this building. So you personally, with your own hands, prepare that stone. You make it exactly square, just the right size, just the right shape. And you put it in place, right there, ready for the builders to build on it. That's what you've done as the architect. Next thing, the builders come onto the building site. Oh, who left that stupid stone there? Oh, what a nuisance. Wouldn't you think they'd have a better idea of what to do than leave a silly stone right in the middle of the building site? I don't know what the world's coming to. Oh, I've stubbed my toe on it and everything. What if that was the reaction that the builders made? How would you feel as the architect? You'd say, oh, foolish builders, I've prepared this perfect stone to be exactly the right foundation for this building. And they're kicking their toe against it and complaining and rejecting it and saying it's useless. That's exactly what happened with Jesus. God's plan was to build the most impressive building the world has ever seen. It's not a building made out of dead stones made out of rock. It's a building made out of human beings, men and women and boys and girls, like you and me. It's a building made out of living stones. A building that's like a temple where God's praises are sung, where God is worshipped, where prayer is offered up to him. It's a building made up of living stones from people of all of the nations of the world. And who is the most important stone in that building? Jesus. He is the chief cornerstone. He's the most important stone right at the corner of the foundation. The stone that everything else lines up on. The stone that everything else is built upon. And what did the religious leaders of the time do? The ones who should have been building up God's people. They kicked their toe against the stone. They tripped over it. They complained about it. And they rejected it. Does it grieve your heart to hear of the response of the leaders? They see how Jesus is teaching the truth. And what's their response? Let's kill him. Because he's threatening our position. Not, he's teaching the truth. Let's embrace the truth. So we truly see that Jesus is the one promised by God through his prophets to be the rescuer. He's certainly the one who has authority from God to speak the truth about how to be right with him. And although he is rejected by many people, he is the foundation stone of the building made out of living stones that God is making. So the challenge for each one of us tonight, having seen who Jesus really is, will we truly, consistently welcome him, or will we reject him? That is life's most important choice. And I urge you to consider it greatly, with great seriousness, because your eternal destination depends upon it. Amen.